When Kamasi Washington called his new album The Epic, he meant it.
There's a 20-piece choir, 32-piece string section, two drummers, there's two bass players, there's a piano, there's keyboards, there's three horns, there's two lead vocals.
And they're laying out three whole albums worth of jazz, R&B, and funk. Kamasi Washington is a very plugged-in saxophonist here in Los Angeles. He's played on two of the city's most important albums of the last year, Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly and Flying Lotus's You're Dead. Kamasi Washington's whole band is made up of some of LA's top session players, and at one point they all decided they wanted to work on their own music rather than someone else's.
So we all just decided to take a month and just not do anything else. We didn't take any of the gigs, we didn't do any other tours. We just tell everybody no for a whole month, and we just recorded everyone's music. So we were just in there like crazy hours. Like we would get in at 10 in the morning and leave at 2 in the morning every day. I got to know them a little bit better than I probably ever intended, you know.
So it's you and three other guys all got albums out of this?
Eight other guys. Yeah, we came out with a staggering amount of music. There was like 8 different projects, 190 songs, like 2 terabytes worth of music. I personally walked away with 45 songs.
Tell me about this. I'd heard that you originally were going to put this into one album. We're going to distill it down into one album. But you had some kind of inspiration that convinced you you needed to have all this music out there.
So after we got out of the studio after the 30 days, I walked away with 45 songs. What I did is I shrunk it down to the 17 songs that I felt like were exactly the way I wanted them to be. I was working on a song called Change of the Guard. And I don't know, something slipped into my subconscious. I started having this crazy dream about the Change of the Guard. And so the dream starts off with like this guard who guards this gate. He doesn't do anything else, he just guards the gate. And the gate's on the top of this huge mountain. And at the bottom of the mountain, there's this village. And all they do is train to go and challenge this guard. And one of these four villagers come up to challenge the guard. And he sees something special in one of them and decides to let him beat him. It was just deep. And so that dream, I had that one like 5 times in a row or something like that. And so I started to like it. You know what I mean? I started to like go to sleep with the hopes that I would have the dream tonight. You know what I mean? And then what started happening though is that like other songs started creeping in there. And after a while, it was like, I was dreaming about all 17 songs. I started to kind of come to the realization that like something was telling me that this is the album. Like, don't take anything out of it. Like, these songs, these are it. These are the ones.
You're also on Kendrick Lamar's album, To Pimp a Butterfly, which is just exploded.
Yeah, oh man, it's so beautiful.
So you provided not just some saxophone on that, but you also helped him with some of the music on it?
Yeah, I wrote a lot of the string arrangements.
It's this really very intensely personal album. How did you work with him on the music on that, with something so personal?
Oh, it was amazing. So he called me in to score that final skit that he has with Tupac, where he interviews Tupac.
I wanted to read one last thing to you. It says, the caterpillar is a prisoner to the streets that conceived it. Its only job is to eat or consume everything around it in order to protect itself from this mad city.
So I started doing that, and then Kendrick, he basically sat there because, you know, that crazy security, so I couldn't take the music with me. So I had to write in the studio. And he'd be sitting right there on the couch just watching, because he was just curious as to the process of how someone, you know, takes music from their head, puts it on paper, and then gives it to someone else, and they create music again, you know?
Already surrounded by this mad city, the caterpillar goes to work on the cocoon, which institutionalizes him.
After I would finish, he'd say, okay, well, maybe we should put this here and that there, and, like, you know, let's take this part and start it 4 bars later. And, you know, he was so hands-on. It was great, because you don't get that a lot.
The result wings began to emerge, breaking the cycle of feeling stagnant. Finally free, the butterfly sheds light on situations that the caterpillar never considered, ending the internal struggle.
There's a lot of great music in this town, in Los Angeles. But I'm sure you've heard this. Like, when it comes to jazz, people complain that it may not be the best jazz place, that you know, people don't come here as often. It's maybe cut off from other parts of the jazz world. But I think about the career you've had and the artists you've been able to work with. Do you think that if you were in New York City, would you be doing, you know, obviously like working with people like Flying Lotus or Kendrick Lamar and that kind of thing?
Yeah, see, I disagree. I think L.A. has one of the most innovative and, you know, forward-thinking jazz scenes in the world. I mean, like, New York definitely has the volume. I mean, there's more mm-hmm. musicians, there's more music happening in New York than there is anywhere else. But to me, L.A., and it's kind of a gift and a curse, you know, the jazz world kind of overlooked us, you know, like, no one really paid attention to what we were doing. But the hip-hop world and, like, the R&B world didn't, you know, so, like, my first tour was with Snoop Dogg. Mm-hmm. And then my next one was with Rafael Sadiq, and then the next one after that was Lauryn Hill. You know what I mean? So it was like, and that was cool for me because, you know, I learned a lot musically. You know, there are nuances that hip-hop has cultivated that a lot of jazz musicians aren't necessarily privy to, because jazz is so wide, it's so expansive, it's so big that you can miss the fine, fine nuances, you know? And so we've been cultivating this sound, and, like, because we've been overlooked, we've also been left to our own devices. Like, no one has their hands in the L.A. jazz scene. That shouldn't have their hands in the L.A. jazz scene. You know what I mean? Like, no one's pushing people this way or that way or influencing them, making them do this and making them do that. We do it, like, on a jazz level. We've always just done whatever we want to do.
Kamasi Washington, new album is called The Epic, 3 volumes, and it is a great product of this great musical town. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you so much.